Don't look at me like that, Lance. I'm guessing you're sitting next to someone you know, probably. Please would you get up and sit next to someone you don't know. I see smiles on people's faces all around the room. So I hope that's an encouragement. You've met someone you didn't know. Brilliant. What we're going to be doing now... What we're going to be doing now is hearing some news from around the region. And it's very easy to be very depressed a lot of the time. We see the decline of Christianity around in our nation and particularly in our region. The stats do not make happy reading. But in the midst of all of that, the gospel is going forward. And we're going to hear news from a number of places where that is the case. And we have the opportunity to pray as well. So firstly, we're going to hear some news. Mark Byrne and Geraint Richards from St. Austell send their apologies. But in this last year, a group of Christians from both Newquay and Truro have planted into St. Austell. Here's what they write. This is Grace Church, St. Austell. John, can we have the thingy? That would be great. As Christians, we're all keenly aware of the great need Cornwall has spiritually. So few churches remaining open, so few places where the gospel is preached. As the largest town in Cornwall, St. Austell has a particular need. Whilst respecting there are other churches where Christians are meeting in the town, there is no FIEC-style church. This fact was actually highlighted in the FIEC identifying St. Austell along with a number of other towns in the UK as a particular place for prayer. I don't know whether Anglican brothers and sisters will be aware, the FIEC produced a pack of cards, 52 places that needed where there was, in terms of gospel witness, there was a population need with little or no clear gospel witness. And St. Austell was one, whether it was the Ace of Spades, I don't know. Anyway. The Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. How you can have a Fellowship of Independence, I don't know. But there you go. I'm an Anglican. What do I know? The Grace Baptist said it's herding cats. There you go. Right, so back to what Geraint says. A number of Christians living in and near St. Austell were travelling long distances outside the town to worship, notably to the FIEC Church in Truro, Truro Evangelical Church, and to the Newquay Reformed Baptist Church. And these believers, with the encouragement of their churches and the support of the FIEC, felt it would be good to hold regular prayer meetings in one of their homes in St. Austell to pray for the town and the opportunities for witness. After a year or so of meeting to pray, it was decided to meet on a Sunday as a group to worship together, initially on a Sunday afternoon, with a view to holding two services when the time was right. That was last March, and since October, the group has transferred completely from the supporting churches to Grace Church St. Austell, meeting each Sunday morning for a morning and an afternoon service. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Country recently. It's a dangerous thing to do.
The initial small group has now been joined by a few more Christians from the locality, also committed to the work. The numerous practical details, including that of finding a suitable place to gather, currently Pondu School, have been marvellously undertaken by the grace of God, and we've seen his guiding hands in all the decision-makings thus far. We've begun outreach in the town for our harvest services and during the lead-up to Christmas. And despite giving out many invitations, no one from outside came to our carol service. It's early days, however, and we will continue to seek opportunities to witness in the town. Grace Church is in the process of applying to become a constituted church, part of the FIC affiliation. That process is nearly complete, and in thanksgiving for the establishment of this work, a year on from the first meeting, we'll be holding a service on Sunday the 9th of March at Pondu in the afternoon, to which everyone's invited. For those involved in this work, it is a daunting process to leave our home churches and commit to Grace Church St. Austell. Excited though we were at the prospect of at last being able to worship in our own local town. The cases that one often hears of when it comes to church planting involve large city churches moving a good number of their people to a new location, but away from the cities, and particularly in rural areas, this is simply not possible. We shouldn't be afraid, however, with God on our side, of planting churches with much smaller numbers of people. And we should acknowledge the faithfulness of our supporting churches for those whom loss of key members is not insignificant. But we do believe that God will honour those who honour him. So here are a number of things to pray for. Firstly, to pray for a unity among the core attendees, particularly as many decisions about the church have to be made. Pray for the rapid completion of the process of becoming constituted. Pray that other Christians would join us to help in the work, and of course that we might see people from the area being converted from St. Austell. Please continue to pray for Truro Evangelical and for Newquay. And small though we are, Geraint says, we hope that at the right time God might provide us with a pastor, and we value prayer for that too. So here's great news. The gospel is advancing in St. Austell, right bang in the centre of Cornwall. For those of you who know St. Austell needs the gospel. So would you like just to turn around in twos and threes and let's pray as Grace Church have asked us to do so. We're going to hear now from, we start in the centre, we're going to go north. We're going up to Bude. We're going to hear from Ali Harper, another recent church plant. Slightly different this time. They didn't take anyone with them. They started from scratch. And this is the video, Stuart. Are we ready? Cool.
Hi, my name's Ali Harper, and I'm here in Bude. Bude is a small town in North Cornwall, and it overlooks the Atlantic Ocean. It's a great place to live, and many people come here to raise their families because of the scenery, because of the surfing, and because of the sea. But we haven't planted a church in Bude for that reason. We've planted a church in Bude because Bude is spiritually dark. There's a lot of Freemasonry, witchcraft, and paganism. It's geographically isolated. The next nearest evangelical Anglican church is an hour away, and the next nearest evangelical church is 45 minutes away. And thirdly, it's declining Christianly. Whilst there are many buildings, church buildings, in this area, there are very few people attending them. And we have a call to go out into all the world and to reach people with the good news of Jesus. And that's why we've chosen to plant here in Bude. Planting Grace Church has been a real testimony of God's grace. When we started last year, there was myself, my wife, and our four children. A year later, we have 23 people meeting every week, and a mixture of Christians and non-Christians. At the outset, we decided we wanted to reach families, and because there's so many clubs in Bude in the morning on a Sunday, we chose to meet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we always eat together as a sign of unity, as a mark of hospitality, and as a means of dealing with people's physical needs as they hear the gospel as well. Looking to the future, we have a number of hopes for Grace Church Bude over the next year. The first is to continue exploring opportunities to build relationships with the community. Bude is a community-driven town, and we want to be part of that. The second is that we continue to teach God's word faithfully, to pray, to be hospitable to those around us. The third is to develop links with the school. We already run an Explorers Club, after-school club in the junior school, and we're hoping that we might even be able to have our church in that school, and we're just looking at that now. And fourth, that we're just going to trust God to build his kingdom over the next year in this place.
For Grace Church Bude, very similar, starting with very little, but trusting the Lord for the growth. Let's pray. In particular, I'm thinking about the guys in St. Austell. How discouraging that no one came to their carol services from all their publicity. Well, let's pray that the Lord would encourage their hearts, that they wouldn't be discouraged, that they would keep on sowing the seed of the word, and that in time the Lord would indeed give the growth 30, 60, 100 fold. And let's pray for that too, for Ali and his wife Jenny up in Bude as they seek to build there. So again, let's pray together. last year or so where people have seen a need and sought to meet it. Sometimes that need is there just in terms of size. So St Austell, that whole area, is the biggest conurbation in Clonmel. And, you know, the density of gospel church to community puts it in the top 50 in the country. So hence being an FIEC focus target, whatever goal you want to call. Other times, the need is there because it's a famine. Already, the size that they have grown to in Bude means they are now the fourth largest church in the area, certainly in Anglican terms. And that shows you exactly how dire the situation is. There are other opportunities also opening up, and it's great to see around the region people responding to those, particularly with the huge amount of building that is going on. So in and around St Austell, there's lots of new building. There is in Newcourt in Exeter. So Trinity Exeter, itself a church plant from St Leonard's, has now planted into Newcourt with Phil Brokenshire. Basically, they're in the IKEA car park, in effect. So that's where they are in Exeter. If you've been to IKEA, you could just pray for Phil Brokenshire and the church plant at Newcourt. But also, these guys are in Sherford, which is a massive new building development on the eastern edge of Plymouth. And these guys are planted out of St Matthew's Elberton. So the top is a picture of the planting team, and there you can see that they're meeting in a school. This was, and these are pictures from their Remembrance Sunday and from their Christmas outreach as well. The Tom Brazel, who was on the staff at St Matthew's Elberton, is leading that plant, and they started in September. He writes this. We regularly now have 30 to 35 on a Sunday morning, almost half of whom are Sherford residents. And a good many of these are seekers or fringe Christians. So that's a huge matter for great praise. And likewise, that they've got a baby and toddler group started and growing well, and relationships therefore growing and deepening amongst mums in the area on the back of that. So relationships being built. And they've just started their first Life Explored course on the back of Christmas, and they've got 5 seekers coming along, with at least 4 more who've said that they want to come along at some point. So just fantastic to see the gospel moving forward. So please pray, he says, for those attending Life Explored, that they'll be captivated by the goodness of the Lord Jesus, and for others who are interested to come along. They asked for particular prayer for energy in the Sunday setup and clear away. Those of you who use school buildings will be aware that if you haven't got a purpose-built building, there's always a slog to set up and pack away. And that's true for these guys. So as we pray for them, let's pray for the others who are meeting in schools and other buildings around the peninsula. And as we were praying for Bude, let's pray for more opportunities to form a relationship with Sherford residents. As yet, they don't have any community space apart from the school in the new estate. Now, you'll all be aware that, you know, these developers are meant under 106 provisions to provide something. Quite often that sort of never happens. Sort of gets left once they've built the stuff. But, you know, if we're seeking the good of the city, we need to, communities need to be able to meet and together. Otherwise, they're just dormitories. So let's pray for some space for them. And he says this, thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel and for praying. And, hope it's a really good day, he says. So, let's pray for Sherford and for Newcourt as well as the prayers are
their needs are very similar. Okay. Let's do that all together. Why don't we do that all together on the in three?
Need. Sometimes it's the opportunity of new housing and so on. Sometimes there's an opportunity to revitalise a church. That's happened in Modbury in Devon. Matt Rowland has left the St Leonard's team and been appointed to Modbury. And great to see a church that was really lacking direction, having a new gospel focus. They've just started a youth Christianity Explored, the Soul Course. They've just started a women's Bible study. And so a church where a lot of fringe members are beginning to hear the gospel. Let's pray for Modbury, that those who are already part of the church would be clearly convicted and convinced of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then out into their community. But another opportunity arose a couple of years back in Zion Community Church down in St. Ives. Tim, Zion, St. Ives is a very seasonal place. So just to tell us, here we go, picture of the church, and that's the seasonal. That's the United Beach mission happening there. Just tell us a little bit about how the opportunity opened up and why you went.
Thank you. Good afternoon. About 5 years ago, I was working as the assistant pastor of a church in St. Albans. And coming up to the end of my time there, I was married at the time, still am, with a young family. And we were praying to the Lord, where can we be of most use? We were thinking about staying in the southeast because that's where our parents are. But we just happened to come down to Cornwall on holiday. And we stayed in Mevagizzi and went to Goran Haven to church. We just got chatting to people in Goran Haven. And some said to us they'd driven an hour to be there. And others said they'd moved from the north coast to the south coast of Cornwall to go to a Bible teaching church. We didn't think much about it and went back home. And then I was just praying in the lounge one evening and saying, Lord, where do you want us to be? What do you want us to do? And I thought to myself, what would I do if I unhitched that requirement to be near to family? And I thought, well, I'd go to Cornwall. That's what I'd do. So I put up a poster of Cornwall on my study wall, looked at the population centres, made a list of all the Bible teaching churches that we knew of, and then I just started emailing pastors and saying, I'm interested in thinking about Cornwall. Would that be a good idea? And they said, well, come down. So I came down to Cornwall for a week and came down to East Cornwall, West Cornwall, North Cornwall, South Cornwall, met the likes of Philip and various other people, and just said, this is what we're thinking. Would it be a good idea to come to Cornwall? And they said, yes, please do. So then off various other trips down, looking at the need in the county, we were planning to plant a church in East Cornwall, in Launceston, for a while as part of the Grace Community Church network. But in the end, at the time, someone else was looking to do something similar, so we decided not to do it. And then driving home from work one day, I got rear-end shunted by an articulated lorry on the M4 and received a brain injury and basically had a very difficult time after that, especially difficult for my wife, bringing up a young family with a dad, a husband and a dad who couldn't handle loud noise and could only concentrate for a few minutes at a time. So it looked like the door had been firmly closed on the whole Cornwall venture, but we kept praying and kept seeking the Lord. And then Spencer Shaw, whom some of you will know from Emmanuel Church in Chippenham, comes down to St. Ives on Beach Missions, knew that my predecessor was retiring, and just thought this is a great opportunity in St. Ives for a gospel work. And so he just emailed around pastors in Cornwall and said, do you know of anyone who might be interested in coming down to Cornwall? And apparently every one of them said, speak to Tim. So just one evening I got an email from Spencer Shaw saying, would you consider this opportunity? So we did. We met a few members of the church, came down for interview, came down for a second interview, and the church was keen to have us. Now, the church has 9 members. That includes my wife and I now. And the church didn't have the means to pay a pastor's salary. I'd been working bivocationally, and I didn't want to do that again. We needed to rent our house in order to supplement my salary, but we couldn't do that because we didn't have the finance, and the mortgage company wouldn't let us. So all the arrangements were in place in sort of in terms of partnership and agreement between ourselves and the church, but the finance wasn't there. So it looked like the door had closed. We carried on seeking after the Lord. And then the insurance company of the truck who hit me got in touch and said we would like to make a cash settlement for the crash you were involved in a couple of years ago. That gave us the finance to refurbish our house, which we now rent, which supplements my salary, and it covered the shortfall between what the church could pay and what we needed to live on for at least the first 2 years. And then the mortgage company finally said, yes, you can let your house. So in the Lord's arranging, we were able to come down to Cornwall and be part of Zion Community Church in St. Ives.
Just tell us, seasonally, yeah. So in season, you're inundated with visitors.
Yeah.
And then this time of year, it feels like a Bible study group.
Yes, it's crazy. Basically, last Sunday I was preaching to 7 people. Sunday before that, it was 5. And so at this time of year, it just feels like a skeleton, barely feasible church, really. But then in the summer months, we're full. Entirely full, about 75 to 100 people. And for 6 weeks in the summer, we have teams from United Beach Missions, between 15 and 30 enthusiastic, committed Christians who come down for a week at a time with their own money on annual leave to share the gospel on the streets of the town and on the beaches. And they do a fantastic job. But it is very, very seasonal, yeah.
So there are huge challenges. But there's some encouragements. Just tell us a little bit about your contact amongst children in the youth.
Yeah, so despite our size, we run 3 youth groups, 5 to 10s, 10 to 15s, and then 15 plus on different evenings of the week. We run a bookshop full-time. We're involved in the Sierra Leone mission out there in West Africa. I'm very proud of our church. I feel like we punch above our weight, and some of our members are pretty much full-time volunteering for the church. So some of the people we do have work very, very hard.
So things to pray for then for you. We said resurrection.
Yeah, our church needs a resurrection. Really, of those 9 members, 2 are almost housebound. 1 is 89, 1 is 84. Another member is 79, who's come today. Tom over there, I hope you're impressed. We've brought a fifth of our church to this conference today. So a number of our churches are getting older and are in health. And we need the Lord to revive us, resurrect us even, really. And there's only so much we can do ourselves, but we need the Lord to work powerfully amongst us. We do have a tremendous opportunity where we are. As you can see the sign, sign outside our church. There's hope no matter how fierce the storm. Hundreds of thousands of people see that sign when they walk past. The population of St. Ives goes from 6,500 in the winter to about 50,000 in the summer. The footfall past our frontage is amazing. Easter, we park ourselves on the forecourt and give away tracts and invitations. We do the same at Christmas. On the 2nd of December, we gave away about 400 booklets on the frontage of the church. So our location gives us a tremendous opportunity to visitors who come. I've had phone calls from people who said, I've just seen your sign. My life's in a crisis. Can we meet up and talk? That's happened a few times now.
So in terms of praying for wisdom, why is that so important?
We have limited energy and limited ability with the people we have. And there's any number of good things we could be doing in the town and also overseas. So I feel a tremendous responsibility to make the best use of the resources we have in terms of our finances and in terms of the people. And some people in the church serve beyond what they should do, really, in terms of their time and their energy. And I feel like a custodian of those people. And I need wisdom to know what to put our energies into and what not to do.
And then lastly, it's often said that church planting is the easy option when you compare it to church revitalisation. So if you've got a church that has maybe been faithful for many years and dwindled, or has gone off the rails slightly, or even a long way and needs to be brought back, but those situations are really tough situations to be in. What does that feel like day by day?
There are some tremendously good things about being a church in a town that's been there for hundreds of years. Some of our church members have lived in the town all their lives and are known by many, many people and have a good reputation in the town. If someone were to come and plant, I just don't think they would have those historic relationships in the town. There's disadvantages of being in a small town. Sometimes if someone's critical of you, that can spread very quickly, and that reputational damage doesn't help at all. And sometimes churches have more resources, better music, better programs, better youth groups and all that sort of thing. And some people feel a gravitational pull towards those, which I can't blame them for. But that makes it harder for our churches, I think.
Okay, so it feels very much weak,
yeah.
Jars of clay.
Yes.
So pray in and around that watcher, we'll be praying for you.
Thank you. Perseverance was a good lesson for me this morning from Judson, to keep going and keep persevering. To not give up, that people, to keep praying and seeking that people would become Christians, even though the work is slow, and to trust the Lord to provide, I think would be the answer. Yes, the chap asked about my health. When I got the brain injury, I went to see a consultant, and he said, you need to have rest and exercise, and you need to be able to pace your life. At the time, I had a young family, and I was commuting. I wasn't really able to rest. I wasn't really able to exercise, and I wasn't really able to pace my life. In the Lord's kindness, moving to Cornwall was instrumental in my recovery. I was able to rest. I wasn't commuting. I was able to pace my life as to how I was doing, and I was able to get regular exercise. So in the Lord's kindness, bringing us down here was instrumental in me getting better. Pretty much, yeah.
Fantastic. Let's pray for Tim and the team at Zion in twos and threes.
Before we break for tea. So there are folk who are seeking to plant and some false starts. Joe, just come and tell us briefly.
Brilliant. So I'm based in the centre of Plymouth, at St Andrews in the centre of Plymouth, and there's the Church of England have been releasing funds to enable church plants to take place in various places throughout the country. It's sort of money that the Church of England has in its coffers, all that gold we've got hidden away for a rainy day, and the Church of England's decided that it is now raining, and so it'd be good to spend it now. And it's a bit controversial, but that's what's happening. And so in Plymouth at the moment, there's some funds available to establish 3 church plants in existing parishes that have dwindled to either non-existent or very small congregations. And 2 of those plants have launched. They're all in what you might say are socially deprived areas of Plymouth that were sort of post-war developments largely, and areas where there's lots of social problems and so on. These particular congregations have struggled over the years, and so it is a kind of replant, but a kind of a fresh start. 2 of them have started, which is wonderful, and we have an opportunity to support one of them starting end of this year, beginning of next year, and we're currently looking for someone to lead that. So my basic prayer point is talking to someone at the minute, that might work out, but pray that the Lord brings us the right bloke to lead that, and then that we can gather, again, just a small team to get that going.
Brilliant. Please pray for Plymouth. Is Phil here? Where's he gone? Yeah, Phil. Oh, shall I just wave it? Just so you know, the 9th of February at the Engine House, called to the Nations, a missions conference. So as we think about the peninsula, and that is our focus in PGP, we also need to keep aware that there is a whole world that needs the good news of the Lord Jesus. George Verwer is going to be there amongst others. If you want more information, Phil, just wave your hand so that he's got cards to give you. You're not going to escape the building without him giving you one. Rolf, you wanted to say something. The Prison Fellowship have got something coming up.
Stand up or wave your hand or something. We go into Dartmoor and Channing's Wood Prison. They're dark, horrid places. But God's at work there. And there's hardly a day that we go in, we don't come back encouraged by something that's happened. Or stunned at times too. I was walking a prisoner back to his wing, and he said he comes from an Islamic country, and when he's released, he will be deported, and he'll probably get killed. What do you say? Or else, not this Thursday, previous Thursday, lockdown. So instead of a whole group coming to the Bible study, we just had 2. We did something a little bit different, which helped them. And afterwards, I went searching for one prisoner who was being released on Friday. It was quite a job to track him down, but I got there in the end, in his cell. And he just looked at me, and his face lit up. And he said, could I pray for him? And we did. And he knows that there's somebody rooting for him. There are lots of opportunities in the prisons, but what we're really looking for is people who will pray for us. We've really come to see that without prayer, we can do nothing. But with prayer, somehow we say the right word at the right moment and look at each other afterwards and say, wow.
So tell us what's coming up.
Right. What's coming up? We're trying to promote the work of Prison Fellowship in the Southwest. I'm the Southwest area leader. I've got a hat on. And next Saturday in Ivybridge at the Methodist Church, we're putting on a concert with Jonathan Vera. It's going to be a great evening of entertainment and fun and music. He's a superb singer, musician, entertainer. But there'll be an opportunity to hear more about the work of Prison Fellowship. And it's also a great opportunity to bring an unsaved friend into a Christian environment.
So you're not going to get out the building without Phil giving you something about George Verwer's visit. And Rolf giving you something about Prison Fellowship. Fantastic. We're going to end by singing, and then we'll have some tea.
We've heard good news of the advance of the kingdom all round the region. I hope it has been an encouragement. Hear the call of the kingdom. Let's stand and sing.